bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You got the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. Clint Scott with Chris Sneen and Jackson Frazier. See if little Susie makes another appearance. We get this on the chat line, and we'll touch this next. What were the comments that Tyler made after the game? I can't find them anywhere.
To paraphrase what he said.
I've got the quote right here.
Let's not paraphrase. Let's see what the boy said.
He was asked how satisfying it was to go 3-0 as a starter over the past 3 weeks and to quiet his critics. Tyler Shuck answered, "I didn't really care at all because I knew they were going to be proved wrong anyway. People on staff, too, a lot of people in this building down the hall didn't believe in me either. So, you know, screw them because I know what we're going to do and I believe in my teammates. Especially how the fans and a lot of the media doesn't really matter just because I knew I was going to get my opportunity, especially the way we were playing. I was going to have a chance. You know, whatever, what's next?" That's the quote.
Yeah.
In some instances, I don't blame the kid. You know, I mean, he's been getting. I mean, I don't know what was said in the building. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his coaches told him. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his teammates told him. I do know what the fans have been saying about him. I mean, the fans have been railing on him. I mean, in the midst of him beating Iowa State, mm-hmm. you know, I'm looking at the message board the next morning. You know. I do that because it's good to know what the fan base is thinking, you know, from the Alumni Association standpoint. Mm-hmm. And some guy puts up, you know, Shuck sucks. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude. And I kind of went off on him a little bit, mm-hmm. a lot. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing.
I guess it's never good
enough for our fan base. Never good enough.
And the issue that people, I think, that have an issue with what he said. It seems like the specific part where he says, you know, I knew I was going to get my opportunity, especially the way we were playing. Like, he was calling out his teammates.
Yeah.
One, he wasn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't. You didn't play well over those last two games. Did it come off a little cocky? Sure. But you know what? Since he's been here, one of my biggest issues with him is he's just seemed so robotic. So I'm saying this because I'm supposed to say this.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have anybody behind center with any sort of edge. And I'm not saying that he needs to go out and just start trashing everybody. But put yourself in his shoes, right?
Yeah.
Like, to say that people weren't writing him off is preposterous.
The funny part about us is, like, you know, the second that he was named starter, you know, what did our fan base do? Oh my God, we didn't have Donovan Smith in there. Wasn't Donovan Smith's the one who got us in the bowl game? He won the bowl game last year. We got to have Donovan Smith in there. Oh my God. And then Shuck gets hurt and Donovan Smith's in there. Boom. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he's terrible. We got to get Morton in there. Mm-hmm. Morton's terrible. We got to get Morton in the game. And Morton gets in the game. Oh my God, he's terrible. We got to get Donovan Smith back in.
Well, it's
never good enough.
I can look at from my own opinion, though, because, I mean, when you go from what you saw in the TCU game when he took over mm-hmm. after an injured Morton,
yeah.
I mean, I had questions. He looked terrible against TCU.
The guy came in off the bench and he had played in weeks.
And so I had questions. I know a lot of people had mm-hmm. questions. And you go back to, now he's a paper mache quarterback. He's had 2 years. He heard all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit when I'm thinking about sitting. If I was in his shoes, I would probably have a similar reaction.
The chip on my shoulder would be a boulder size. I mean, it wouldn't be a chip. It would be a boulder on my shoulder, and I don't fault the kid for having a little
salt.
He got he had a lot of salt. I mean, that's a big old giant drum of Morton salt he had on his shoulder. I mean, he's throwing out there. Yeah,
Baron Morton salt. Just kidding. Now, I don't know. I'm not in the locker room.
Pun intended. that was no pun intended.
I'm obviously not in the locker room. I don't know if there's some sort of tension between all of the quarterbacks or some of the offensive roster that we don't know about. But if it's a question of him being a bad teammate, it sure looks like he wants to win.
Yeah. That, I mean, at what point did we think that he doesn't want to win?
Right. And I guess my question is, if he was asked this again, would he want to answer it differently? Right? Would he want? Would he want to? Would he want to phrase it differently?
I mean, I don't think anybody wants to start a controversy.
Right.
You know, after your bowl, your seventh win, you're going to go in a decent bowl anywhere from Cheez-It, maybe all the way up to Alamo in some projections. I mean, the reality is, I mean, this is a really good season for Texas Tech based on where we've been for the last decade.
Yeah.
I mean, very few of us in this town, except for the super duper optimists, you know, a lot of people were, we're going to go 5-7, 6-6. A lot of 4-8s out there, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who were jumping ship after the NC State game came back. You know, luckily the bandwagon was driving slowly, so you time to catch up. Oh, that's fine. Hey, driving, you know what? Here's the deal. One of these years, folks, you're going to jump off the bandwagon, and we're going to throw that thing into fifth gear, and we're going to take off. You hang out back there, little Susie. I want to go on the bandwagon too.
She came back. I guess I look at this, and I was in the room when he said it, and yeah. I didn't go, oh my gosh, did you call the press right now?
You are the
press.
Get
everybody on the press. I am the press. The call press. Myself right now. it didn't seem like as big of a deal as, to me.
It's one of those things.
To what was being made of it yesterday.
You know, when I heard it the first time, I didn't think a whole lot about it, and I thought about it for a little bit. I was like, he kind of took a shot at his coaches and teammates there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I didn't have that much problem with it.
Yeah.
I really didn't. I mean, and he took a shot at the fans too, and I didn't have much problem with that either.
And this is like the first we've seen of this too. The first of this side, but also the first it hasn't been like, "Oh, Tyler Shuck angry with receivers." You know, Tyler Shuck, Coach Kittley, tensions are high. Wait, this is the first we've seen of this.
Yeah.
And so, and the other side of this too. Okay, well, if Donovan Smith and Baron Morton were up at the table beside him when he said it, would he have said it differently? Then, like, I have a bunch of questions that aren't going to ever be answered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to go, boy, that guy's just an awful dude. Get him off the campus. We don't need that sort of poison and filth.
I would tell you, though, I said it yesterday, and somebody came up to me and said, I heard what you said about him sounding like a guy getting in four. I agree with you. And I'll say it again. That sounds like a guy that as soon as the ball game's over, he's jumping in the portal.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I'm not even – I don't know what the battle is going to look like if he stays. I just know that you need and you should want to have all three of the guys that you have battling it out because of what you saw this season and what you've seen for a bunch of years at Texas Tech and what you've seen now for a bunch of years in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to plant a flag going Tyler Shuck should be the guy going forward. Nah. I just, if you're ready to get rid of him, I don't see that side.
The problem with today's NCAA with NIL, free transfer, blah blah blah. These guys, they have the ability. Now, I'm not sure where he actually is because he already transferred one time free from Oregon to us. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he now has to sit out. Well, if he does,
this is something we were talking about because didn't he come over as an early graduate transfer? Correct.
I didn't think he came over as a grad. I thought he did a free transfer, and now he's a grad. I think he can transfer as a graduate.
So
now.
If he transfers as a whatever a that recipe is, I think he still has a free transfer.
I think he has a free transfer
if it's
as
a grad transfer because then that wouldn't affect him.
He's already graduated from Texas Tech,
so that's how I think it is. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, so that's the answer to my question right there.
Okay. Hey, hit us up with your play of the day. Sorry, I ran you a little close.
Hand off for Ward on 3rd and 8. And Ward leaning forward. Flags come down. Oh, there's punching now.
Yeah, Finnegan and Andre Johnson going after it. Both of the helmets were ripped off. And we may have even more action. They're going to be tossing Andre Johnson out of the game for sure. He'll get the thumb because he connected on a couple of haymakers on Finnegan. Wouldn't be surprised if Finnegan doesn't get an early shower, too. Toss them both out because of this action right here. Finnegan gets the first shot, then gets his helmet knocked off. He takes off Johnson, and now Johnson is going to get a couple of good shots in there, or bad shots, if you will.
Good old Cortland Finnegan picking a fight with Andre Jones. I'm guessing that was today was the anniversary of that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I happened to be thinking about it over the weekend, and then it was actually yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Close enough.
Belated happy anniversary to Andre Johnson. About to tear up Cortland Finnegan.
Cortland Finnegan.
There's something to be said, though, about those. He's the exact type of player that you hate him if he's on the other team. You love him if he's on yours because he's a punk. Watching Josh Sargent in the tie-dye. It's the bottom line. Back for one more with Captain Sneedaroo before we welcome in a little crouton. Keep it right here, 100.7 The Score. It's Kaylee's Dailies next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You may be thinking, today's not Friday or a Monday. We also heard this yesterday, so it's not delayed. What is happening? Well, it's the bottom line of 100.7 The Score. Clint Scott with Jamie Lint and Jackson Frazier. There's a little thing called the Big 12 Big East battle. I refuse to call it the correct way because it is incorrect.
Why do they get to be first?
Yeah. Why? Explain it, people who made the deal on the name. We are starting that, and I say we. The Baylor Bears are starting that tonight. One game. That is Baylor at Marquette, but might as well go ahead and knock them all out now and see how correct we are for a blind projection. So we'll have to wait a week. And this is great because we can kind of watch, you know, when we do this on Fridays for football, it's like boom, 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 boom. And it's kind of like, yeah, I think I did bad. Like we'll get to know little by little as they have one game, three games, daybreak, three games, one game. So we will jump right in picking all 10, Jamie, would you like to start us off with the inaugural pick for Blind Projections Basketball Edition?
Okay.
You have no choice, so I was waiting to see if you would say yes or no.
Okay.
Baylor at Marquette is tonight. Baylor comes in with a 5-1 record, their lone loss to Virginia. They are ranked 6th. They are at Marquette, given a 66.1% chance to win tonight. Due to ESPN analysis, are you taking the Bears, or are you taking the Shaka Khans?
I am taking Baylor. We just got another shot on goal. We missed it.
What are we doing? Show us the other blue team.
That guy used his hands. And why does he have a different colored uniform on?
Is he the libero?
Sorry.
Volleyball soccer. Sorry. Joke there for
yeah,
you.
I got.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Just making sure. You know.
I thought it was funny. It was good. It was well played.
My wife's a big volleyball fan, and when we'd get to go watch our niece, she would hate me because I would just call the libero something different every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she our lasagna? She really hated it when I called it a libido. I don't know why. Jackson, you taking the Bears or
I knew
Marquette?
It was coming. I like could see it coming from like a mile away.
Is this just straight up pick?
Straight up. We're just doing straight up for basketball.
No, I'll go Baylor as well.
Too many bad beats for me. Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears as well. We'll go with the games tomorrow, except for yours. Of course, we'll save for Texas Tech for last. Kansas State at Butler. How about the Wildcats and Jerome Tang, a kick in the glass? They started the year 6-0. Butler is 4-3. All three losses, though, to ranked teams. Mm. Butler given a 63% chance to win. Jackson. The Butlers or the K-States?
I'm going to go with the Butlers.
Mm. Where is it?
This is at Butler.
At Butler.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Butler wins this game. It's funny because this is one where you look at, 4-3, and all of those games are pretty close that they lost and to really, really good teams. I think Kansas State picks up their first loss. But I'll tell you what, under Tang, Wildcats have already played better than I thought they would.
I'm going to say the Butler did it as well.
With a wrench. In the ballroom. That was good. Providence will be on the road tomorrow at TCU as well. TCU is given 77.6% chance. This is a bad Providence team. Or not the same that it has been. I will give
TCU. Do they
TCU.
Not have God Sham God playing for them anymore? That was a real person.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, he's the Mavs assistant.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the Horned Frogs have everybody back by this point, too, with Ba Ramu, who was suspended. Give me the Horned Frogs.
I'm going to go TCU as well.
TCU.
Mm. This is fun. Seventh-ranked Creighton. This game will be on Thursday, one of the Thursday editions. The Blue Jays, 6-1, only lost to Arizona, go to Texas. I think this is by far the elite matchup of this event. It is at Texas Tech. This to me is ridiculous. Texas is given an 80.5% Whoa. Chance to win this game. Zero faith in the high-flying offense of the Blue Jays. Jamie, I'll let you pick first. Take an old Creighton or old Texas?
Texas.
I think.
Arkansas.
Yeah. Jackson, you taking Creighton or Texas?
I'm going to go with Creighton.
I think 80% is ridiculous, but I do think Texas will win this game. I think they will outsize them. This is one where it helps that it's at home.
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah, I would have probably gone the other way if it was that great.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, Jackson, all by himself on Creighton Island. Seton Hall at Kansas. Seton Hall's 4-3, Kansas 7-1, ranked 9th at home. Jackson, did the Jayhawks get it done at Fog Allen?
Yes, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, not the sadly part, but yes, I agree. This was one of the more mismatches here from the Big 12 Biggies battle.
Terry DeHare playing for Seton Hall?
No.
No, he's not.
He's on the Mavs coaching staff.
He's also on the Mavs coaching staff. I'm going to go with Kansas, and they just got a shot on the goal, but luckily our guy in yellow knocked it away.
It's good. It's good. Our libero. Good job. Yeah. Oklahoma State is at 8th-ranked UConn. Oklahoma State enters at 5-2. UConn is 8-0. UConn destroys Oklahoma State in this game.
I think that'll be the case.
Mm.
UConn's looked pretty good so far.
They really have.
Mm-hmm.
I took down an Iowa State squad that has looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty handily, too. Jackson.
Yeah, I have to go UConn as well.
Next one up, Oklahoma at Villanova. Oh, Villanova, 2-5 start. Been a little bit of a mess over there. Oklahoma comes in at 6-1. This is at Villanova. Villanova given a 57.4% chance to win this game. Jamie?
I'm taking OU.
Mm. Jackson?
I'll go with Villanova.
Give me Nova as well. A little bit of a get-right game. I think it's going to be an ugly one to watch, though. West Virginia at Xavier. West Virginia is 6-1. Xavier is 4-3. Xavier at home, a 54% chance to win. Jackson?
I'll go with West Virginia.
Give me Xavier at home.
There's a 60% chance of a fight between these two teams.
I hope so.
And I'll take West Virginia.
Fight, in
the game.
St. John's is at 23rd ranked Iowa State. Iowa State just one loss on the year. St. John's is 7-0. Are you taking the Cyclones, Jamie, or the St. Jonathans?
I will take the Cyclones.
Cyclones. Boy, talking about first year, know if you got your guy. They've got their guy. It's
looks like it.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I dislike it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with St. John's.
Ooh.
Think Chris Mullen's going to have a big game?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. He's going to get them
he's
to win.
He's on the Mavs coaching staff.
He's on the Warriors coaching staff.
No, but he just got traded.
Oh, he did?
It's a staff trade.
My bad.
Yeah. And finally, need a score. Also, that Iowa State St. John's game's on Sunday, by the way. Georgetown at Texas Tech tomorrow night. The showdown for the Red Raiders. Need a winner and a score. Jackson, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go Tech 84-68.
Mm. Give me Texas Tech 78-55.
I'm going to go 80 for the Red Raiders, and I'll give Patrick Ewing's guys 58. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, Allen Iverson is going to be a tough defend out on the wing.
He's actually on the Mavs coaching staff.
Alonzo Mourning poses some challenges with a lot of blocked shots.
Also,
Othella Harrington is a beast at the four. But I think you can slow down Reggie Williams on the wing. And I think the Red Raiders have a really good chance here. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, the X factor is that we have Mac McClung. They don't.
Mm. Thought you were going to go Darvin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, since he played for both.
Oh, Darvin didn't play for both. I'm sorry.
No.
That was fantastic.
Mac McClung played
that was
for
well
both.
Done. Yeah. That was well done. Gosh, that's it. Man. Idiot on me over here.
I hope you take some constructive criticism right now, Clint.
I'm not intelligent enough. I can tell you that. Also, I'm on the Mavs coaching staff. Let us know what you think of the Big 12 Big East battle. Is you know what? I'll wait. I'll wait and save this question because I want to get into it just a little bit.
Okay.
We'll fight. We'll fight next on Take Versus Take. You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That music means it's time for the fastest growing game show in the world, Take Versus Take. Get the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Trying to get a little post-Thanksgiving redemption today. Jackson and I go head-to-head. Jamie has the questions. Jackson, what are your emotions heading into today's competition?
You know, I'm just gonna go with the punches and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So you're gonna throw punches, is what you said?
Yeah, bows.
I'm gonna throw them back. I'm gonna roll with the punches I've thrown at you as well.
We've hit the 30-minute mark. We're still scoreless.
What are we doing? Why aren't we running a zone?
I think one of our guys was just getting held there. What the deal is there.
Jamie and I just learned the dimensions of a World Cup soccer goal. If anyone cares to know, it's an 8x24. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's an 8er.
8er. Yep. All right. I got three questions for you today. Choice Woodman kind of helped me with the questions.
Oh, this is going to be so dumb.
Oh, man. Our goalie had to make a play there.
He did.
All right. So, question number one. Clint, you go first. What's the toughest drill / punishment that you ever had to do on a sports team?
Ours was, and I still will never understand the point of this, because I get that you can have like workout punishments like this, right? But still, they usually do something for you and for your body. Ours was log rolls. Everyone's least favorite thing of all time. Just like, all right, end zone to end zone. And you're just getting dizzier and dizzier and dizzier and dizzier. And you go, you know, it's like facing the giant. Like, Brock, look up. You're in the end zone. You're like, thank goodness. He's like, all right, now go ahead and go the other direction too. Like, ah. But we had to like really mess up.
Yeah. How did
to
you
do
not,
that?
How did you not hurt from being so dizzy?
Oh, I would. I only had to do log rolls for something that I did like once, but we did like team log rolls before because we allowed like bunch of points in a game or something like that. That is by far the worst. It doesn't do anything for your muscles, doesn't do anything for your athleticism, doesn't do anything for your foot speed. It's just like, I'm going to make you throw up today. Mm-hmm.
So going into my junior year, I was working out. I worked out like 4 hours a day all summer with like a whole bunch of guys I played football with.
Humble brag.
And on the last day, the guy was just like, I basically just said like he wanted to just make us suffer for like the last day before the season started. And it was all like CrossFit workouts is what we did all summer leading up. And so everything is kind of just off at a time. It's really not like you do this and then take a 30-second break and then keep going. It's like you get 2 minutes to do this, and if you finish within that time, then you get that much
to as a break.
Yes. And yeah. So we were doing that, except we ran 4 miles, except it was an actual mile run within like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to do 2 800s with like a basically enough time to like turn around and then run the next one, then down to 400 and then 100s. And I remember me and one of the guys afterwards, I've never thrown up from working out, but that was the closest I ever got.
Humble
and
wreck.
Me and him just sat in like the ice locker where like the bags of ice are. We just like crawled in there for like 30 minutes after and just like sat there, and that was the worst.
I think I'm going to go with Jackson on this one. Yours sounds like just a complete beatdown, Clint, but Jackson seems hard. When you have all of that and you include the running in it,
mm-hmm. That
just seems, that seems pretty rough.
By no means, like, because we had way harder workouts and stuff, but that's what just made it stupid to me. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah. No, I love your point about how it doesn't make you a better athlete or anything. It's just, I remember once in, I don't know, probably about junior high baseball, where we got blown out by one team, and there was a hill on the side of their baseball field down the third baseline. And basically our coach was so mad at us afterwards, we started walking towards the bus. He's like, or maybe we got on the bus. And he's like, get off the bus. Put your gloves down, get off the bus. We went back out there, and it seemed like we ran up and down that hill for like 45 minutes. And I think 2 or 3 different guys were throwing up. I mean, it was brutal.
What?
And then got on the bus, and nobody said a word for like an hour drive.
When he said, get off the bus, leave your gloves, was there any part of you like, ooh, a field trip? Maybe this will be fun.
No, I don't.
Maybe he saw a butterfly outside.
I don't think so.
Every year of high school, during our bye weeks, mm-hmm. our coach would just make us on Friday after school, we'd have to meet up for like a practice. But all we would do is just run 40-yard dashes. We would just get in lines of like, there'd be like 5 people running at a time. Yeah. Yeah. And every 10, they'd be like, that was the first quarter. Like, mm-hmm. first quarter's over. That was pretty bad too.
Yeah. The hardest thing I've ever done athletic wise was when Coach Kingsbury was the head coach, and we had a strength and conditioning coach that was a former military guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what his name was, but they did this thing, Carry the Fallen Ruck. It was to raise money and awareness for soldiers. And so I'm like, all right, sign me up. So you go out to the Spirit Ranch there, and you had to do a 22K. I think it comes out to like 14 miles.
Mm.
But you had to do it with, they gave you a backpack, and there was like 50 pounds of sand in it. Okay, so you had to do 14 miles with 50 pounds on your back. That was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Yeah.
Jackson.
And every time you came around a lap, the football team was there to laugh at you.
Jackson, when your people were yelling first quarter and second quarter while you guys were dying, did you yell back, we're a fourth quarter team and not doing anything?
Yeah.
It just made it so much worse, because they were like, this is the same as playing one quarter, and like, I'm an offensive lineman, and I'm like trying to not throw up, and I'm like, this is not the same.
Are we running the lineman screen every play? This is awful.
Jackson's like, we had 4 3-and-outs.
Surely we fumbled at some point. Come on, one play fumble, gave the ball back, anybody?
I run 40 yards in like a whole game.
Yeah. All right, Jackson takes the first question. Question number 2, Jackson goes first. What celebrity would you like to play one-on-one with, and in what sport? Can't be an athlete. What celebrity would you want to play one-on-one? And it can be any sport.
I think... the first thing that pops in my head, and I don't think anything really can beat it, is I would want to play one-on-one basketball with Adam Sandler. He's funny. Mm. That'd be a great time. And he's good. So
he can play, it'd
be an interesting game.
No doubt.
It wouldn't just be like throwing it up and talking. It'd be a fun, an actual competitive game.
Sure.
Mine's also going to be basketball, but I would want to play one-on-one with Will Ferrell. But Will Ferrell has to be dressed up as Jackie Moon. And he has to just be that character the entire time. I mean, full Flint Tropics get up. We would allow him one teammate one time just for him to throw the ball back. Like, not feeling it. Throwing it back out. Throwing it back in. Throwing it back out. I feel like that would be hysterical.
Which one do you feel like would be the most likely to act like he does on screen? Sandler or Ferrell? That would be the key to deciding who would be more fun.
I feel like Adam Sandler would take the game seriously and would put up a, I mean, because everyone knows he's like, he's good at basketball. He's good at sports. He plays them a lot. You see these videos of him just like with random mm-hmm. people. Like, where's this gym at that you're playing
mm-hmm.
Random pickup 5-on-5 games with? Like, I feel like he would take it seriously. I don't think.
Go! Go!
He's covering his face. He's embarrassed. You scored.
Hey, we scored.
We scored.
1-0.
Take that. USA. USA. Minute. Ricola. La 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 la.
I'm speechless.
Speech.
So I think I'm going to go with Clint on this one. Yeah. I think Sandler would take it more serious, and I think he would beat you. Mm-hmm. I think he would beat you. I think he would. I think Ferrell would have a better time.
You remember that time you had an elbow thrown in your face by Adam Sandler in a rebound?
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. This goal was spectacular, too. The guy kicked it and then tackled the goalie.
Yeah. That's real football. It's real physical football out there.
It just mm-hmm. went sliding into him and actually took the goalies.
And then he got kicked in the Netherlands. Oh, that's why he's down. Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh, goodness.
Ooh.
All right. So we're tied at one. All right. In honor of Patrick Ewing coming to town tomorrow, what big name head coach would you love to see come face the Red Raiders? Any sport?
Oh, man.
Do not say Bill Self.
Oh, we get to see that every year. Bill Self.
Okay, it's, go
it's,
Jackson.
It's tough because...
Oh, Jackson won.
It's tough because the two that I want have just retired. Can I bring them out of retirement?
Yes, but they have to be alive.
Okay, so it's still Coach K. And he said, John Shire, maybe not just yet. Let's bring it back. Like a Coach K-led Duke team, when I think of... And it doesn't matter on years that they were maybe a little bit more down or if they were at the elite level like they're always at. Because they're always good and always mean something... to beat the Blue Devils, and that would just be a very special team. To bleep them. Bleep you, Blue Devils! Yeah, that's Coach K.
Jackson?
I have to go Nick Saban, I would think. Just the main, the most prolific college football coach. You got to go with that one.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Oh, the suspense. I believe this is what we call a cliffhanger in the biz.
Still 1-0, U.S.
Yeah. Oh.
44 minutes in.
I meant the take versus tape cliffhanger we left them on as the point, the final point, the deciding point. For all of the marbles.
What was the question about again? What were your answers?
Something about a Martian.
I think I have to go with Coach K. Yes. And the reason being is if Saban's over there on the football sideline, we're really doesn't get you don't really feel like you're getting to see Saban. He's mm-hmm. just over there. I mean, if you're at the USA and it's Coach K, I mean, you're seeing him up and down the sidelines, smaller area, whatever. It just feels like, and that's why I'm kind of excited about Patrick Ewing being here tomorrow.
Is that the, we can go ahead and do this now then. It's time for Jamie's question of the day.
Jackson won.
Or no!
Clint won.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's not do it just yet. So I was your take versus take champion. Yeah. You're a winner, mm-hmm. especially myself. Thank you. It's feels really great.
Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
All right, question of the day, Jackson, how bad does it hurt? You like that? You like that? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so you're playing Georgetown tomorrow, and I mean, it is obvious this is a Georgetown program that is a shell of itself. I mean, I think even if you go back 5 years ago, and if you would have pulled Georgetown in the Big 12, Big East battle, you're going, heck yeah, right? Like, that's a big mm-hmm. logo. It should still be a good future tournament win when they look back at your schedule. Oh, that's a good win.
Didn't they make it to the second weekend like three years ago?
Somewhere around that time. And last year, what, win four games? Like the drop off is awful over there for it's kind of this way for a few of the Big East teams, but not everyone's had this level of drop off when you go back to those teams that Patrick Ewing was playing on. All of those guys that you named, joking around, that Big East is far, far, far gone. To me, the best Big East team during that time was a Missouri Valley team with Creighton. Like it's just not the same. I mean
that's where I grew up in the Big East with Big East basketball, and I think the first professional athlete I was raised to really, really not like was Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, because they were rivals with Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've come to respect and appreciate and all that good stuff, all the great stuff that Patrick Ewing did in the NBA. But at the same time, man, anybody that was associated with Georgetown I can just remember my grandfather grumbling about him watching his Syracuse Orangemen.
Yeah, and then like he turns into the purple alien. I just offended somebody.
His Syracuse orange, my bad, because the orange people are upset.
Is that really you're not supposed to say?
No, they're the orange now. They're not the Orangemen.
That's weird.
Yeah, exactly. Who are the orange people?
It's like what's people with terrible spray tans.
Those people offend me.
Georgetown last made it to the tournament in 2021, where they lost in the first round. Before that, they hadn't been since 14-15, where they lost in the third.
Okay, so
yeah, so it's
like I said, like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, right. And so it brings us to the actual question of the day: is the best part about the game tomorrow that he will be on the sidelines and you will get to see him in person?
I think for people my age, I don't know what it means to guys your age. I would think this for the Tech students. I mean, they never saw a highlight of his at Georgetown. Probably barely remember him with the Knicks. They probably have the reference point of, oh, that's the guy from Space Jam.
He's the purple alien. Yeah. From Moron Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
His always freaked me out when they did the alien change because his spine grew and it's like, and it popped up. And I was like, ah, shivers. Down my own spine.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Right.
Oh, good. We almost finish each other's.
I complete you, Clint. That hurt a little bit.
Do the thing.
No. No.
Jackson will take a picture. Make the hand heart with not me. Do Later the we'll thing. Do the star thing like this. Where
you and I will not do any things. Yes. I mean, I think... I don't know. You know, it was cool when Kentucky was here a couple years ago and Calipari was on the sideline and at a Tech basketball game. And I thought that was super neat just because John Calipari is one of the famous coaches in college basketball. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same with Bill Self because he comes every year. We know.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But to see Patrick Ewing here, not that he's a great college coach or anything like that, but but because of, you know, his history with the Knicks and all that, that's just cool to me.
I mean, I think, I don't know what the age threshold is where that side loses its luster, but I still think as it trickles down, even the joke with like, oh, Patrick Ewing, like that's the purple alien from Space Jam. That's what I know him from. I think if you're there and you're a basketball fan, like, you know who he is to an extent.
Yeah, sure.
Even if it's a, obviously, for a lot of those kids, never watched him play, weren't even alive. That made me feel old. And you know, if you've seen him play, it's obviously from highlights or oh yeah, it's that NBA guy. And they may not even get the full effect. Like, oh, he played at Georgetown.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gunga!
Eat it.
2-0. 51 minutes.
Why didn't they put the goal up?
No. They called something. Take that back.
Goal redacted.
What? Did they call offsides?
Oh, offsides!
Is that a thing?
Tons.
Dadgummit. What is he looking at? Dear official, what is an offsides in soccer?
I'm out of breath. I can't do the rest of the segment.
Was he in the neutral zone? Why was that not a face mask?
There was no skate.
Thanks a lot, Sneed.
Proof Sneed wrong.
In the crease.
Oh, goodness. The center didn't even jump.
I hope Tom Stone's not listening. He would ban.
He's dying. I learned something new from you. Apparently, substitutions are illegal in soccer, and it is a ridiculous sport.
You can substitute, but the guy can't come back
Why? Now you can't have rest. We want you to die.
Currently, the U.S.
passing out.
Well, no, I guess he's back in. But they had an injured player who was not on the field. And so we were playing a man down.
Hand down, man down. That's what they say.
And
foot down.
He's probably saying the same thing since he was kicked in the bad portion. Mm-hmm. He's probably saying he's playing a man down as well.
Right in the Irons. Right in the Qatars. If only he'd worn his World Cup, it would have been a lot better for him.
How did I get here?
Oh, man. Hey, you complete me too, buddy. No, you said you completed me. I complete you.
I'm completely lost.
Same. We get this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. This better not be rigged. Hashtag Team Clint. It wasn't. And I came away with a take versus take victory. Ooh, get this from Panhandle Raider. Bad vibrations. Got a feeling Georgetown wins tomorrow.
Man, it just feels like that would be like a big time Thanksgiving hangover if that was going to happen. They're just not a great basketball team.
If you lost to Georgetown, that would have been a worse loss than if you would have lost to Louisville. And Louisville came into that Maui Invitational game winless. They just can't put it together yet. That team is athletic and long. They're just not playing as a basketball team. I think the Georgetown, if you lost to them, would be worse in the what-if nightmare situation.
Wow. That's rough.
That's where I'm looking at right now. So hopefully that's not true. Ironic, Texas gets these first few big games at home. That's true, and that's part of it. And, of course, they jump up to number two. They put it to Gonzaga, but Gonzaga is nowhere close to what they will be at the end of the season, and I think Texas is. Texas is old, and that's a rarity in college basketball right now.
Sure.
Texas is old, and when you look at pieces that they add, who did they add? They added the conference player of the year to their own conference, and so it's a dude who knows how to play in the Big 12. Like, I didn't see as much. And we talk about chemistry a lot and how all these new faces will gel. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that with Texas. So I am curious, though, because I think Creighton's the same way. I like Creighton a lot more than what I liked Gonzaga going into that game.
They're definitely an older team as well.
So see how it shapes out. You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is once again time to play No Diggity, a Tuesday edition. Thank you for joining us. Quint Scott with Jamie Lynn and Jackson Frazier. You've got the bottom line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with you with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. 45 more minutes with us as we go all the way up to 3 o'clock. If you would like to continue your live and local coverage at that time, switch over to Double T97.3 for Tech Talk. Got some high school basketball on the airwaves tonight. Friendship, boys and girls, in a good one at Monterey. The new box. We didn't like the old box. It was a new box. I haven't been inside. Do you think it's quite boxy?
I've not been inside either, so I'm anxious to see what all the box talk is about.
maybe it's about the Kansas State reptile, the box turtle. What are the chances?
Probably not. Probably not. Should be a couple good games, though, so that's good.
Yeah, that'll be on Double T97.3. Girls at 6, boys at 7:30. Lovett Cooper in action tonight as well. a girl boy doubleheader. Different teams, though. The girls will play at 6 and 100.7 score right here against Idaloo. The boys will host Seminole at 7:30 right here on 100.7 the score. I would just like to say our player gently got pushed in the back and fell down. That should be a red card.
Should be a red card. Mm-hmm. And then their guy just slid into our guy wearing the banana outfit with the Mickey Mouse gloves on.
Scott Sterling!
And just tripped him up.
The best part of soccer is the slow motion replays whenever they fall or get like this. The selling job is fantastic.
I like the sport. I have high level of respect for their skills, which are crazy good.
I have respect for their cardio, but yes.
That too. But man, the just flopping and faking, it's so annoying.
Is that what maybe not because they've instilled a rule this year that I think is a good one with the anti-flopping in basketball, but and this is tough because this has helped out a ton. Two teams that I root for now, because Texas Tech takes a bunch of charges and Kansas takes a ton of charges, and that's kind of what everyone in the country is. And I'm not saying to get rid of the charge, but man, when it's like every other play, and it used to at least be 50-50, and I'm going to be on a soapbox here for a little bit. I hate defensively what basketball has turned into. It's why I completely, one of the reasons, because they're a leader of the forefront. There's other reasons too. It's the biggest one, though, of completely why I'm anti-NBA, because it's not basketball for a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of acting and, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, and flopping and all that going on as well. I'll just say that I enjoyed college basketball more. I'd rather have the action at the rim, which you kind of take away when you have to be so fearful of mm-hmm. teams that are really good at drawing charges and flopping. And so that part of the game is in some regards taken out, or at least minimized mm-hmm. with the teams like our own, who does a great job of sliding in there and taking charges. Mm-hmm. But man, I do miss the high flying part of the game. You know, if there's more of that, but I respect the heck out of the, hey, slide your feet over, help side defense, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I love those principles.
Yeah. And it's not, again, I don't want to just take the charge completely out of the game, but it's like I guess for shooters too, this is why the flop rule has been instilled this year, but it's the overselling, that the anti-physicality that basketball has slowly grown into. And it's still more physical on the college level. And I think that they will let them play at times, especially when you get to tournament. Like the way that they call games progressively through the season is hilarious. And I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm glad that they don't call Big 12 play and that they call tournament play from what they do at the start, because you see this in every sport now. They start a new rule and like, this is what we're emphasizing, and they almost overdo it. I don't know. I just wanted to go on a little soapbox about mm-hmm. charges there.
I'm
for a second. And I don't want it to go back to the boy. They should clothesline that guy because he's really good. I don't want it that, but it just gets old at times.
Mm-hmm.
That leads us into our no diggity story today. When's the last time, speaking of clotheslines, you fought over a board game?
Probably when I was living in the same house with my brother.
Mm.
So, teenage years.
Did you have a go-to game that would just really rile you up?
Not that I can remember.
Mm.
Sorry, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that was ours. Mm. Ours was, the game was called Aggravation. And as a family, like, the whole point was it was just an extended version of Sorry, but you could go past your home and keep hunting people and sending their marbles back, which is what I did. It was very fun. That started a few arguments. Jackson, do you have a board game that you just drop some bows over?
No, I didn't really play board games, like actual board games, with anyone else besides like my grandmother.
Oh, so that's probably good.
But that game that you get, the app where you like guess stuff and you have it on your forehead and you have to like give them hints, and it'll be like people and you have to like say mm-hmm. what movies they were in or whatever,
sure,
for them to guess.
Headbands?
I think something like that. I will get frustrated with people who are like awful at that game.
Yeah, so same thing. I didn't have to be on a
board. So like that, I guess. Like,
who's the worst headbands player? Was it your grandma as well?
Yeah.
Come on, grandma.
No, my mom is like terrible, and so I don't like playing with her.
To think I sold you a security system. Well, we get this story from Oklahoma. It is yet to be told if he was also a reporter in the booth the other day. Oklahoma, this happened, arrested a man named Jake John Armstrong. This was on Saturday after a family game of Monopoly turned violent. That's kind of the classic one that the game gets thrown up.
Well, I think it's because it's so long. You just get wore out and you're exhausted. So you start having, you know, having beef with everybody.
Yeah. So it starts out with, on the report, the family was drinking alcohol and playing Monopoly. That seems like a bad mix. That does not seem like two things that should go together. John started fighting with his stepfather. They knocked over the game board, turned over furniture, and then took the fight outside. At some point, John was cut on the head, and he responded by pulling out a gun and chasing his stepfather and stepsister down the street. He did fire a shot, but thankfully he aimed at the ground, and no one was hurt. John was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon and was sent to the Tulsa County Jail.
I wonder if he collected his $200 without passing go.
He did not. I don't think he passed.
He just grabbed the $200.
Well, it also says it's...
Or somebody wanted the thimble and somebody wanted the shoe.
Well, that's what it says. It's unclear what the fight was over or how many hours they were into the game. So it's like, if it was a fight over that, like I wanted to be the schnauzer, then I was obviously very early. If it was, you landed on the railroad again, then it could have been 14 hours.
I think the last time I wanted to fight over a board game is when girlfriend at the time, now wife, and I with her roommates and some friends decided to play Yankee Monopoly. Okay. Clearly it was mine. And girlfriend's roommate called Lou Gehrig when you landed on Lou Gehrig and you could buy Lou Gehrig. She called him Lou Gehrig. Okay. And there was almost fisticuffs there.
You have to get her. One of your friends, she has to leave.
Okay.
She has to go.
Can we get, superstar's name right, please?
Big E-O. Astro's Monopoly. leads us to hopefully a very easy no diggity with your diggitometers. You probably shouldn't be throwing fisticuffs or shooting a gun after a board game.
Yeah, I think that's crossing the line, probably.
The gun or the fisticuffs?
The gun.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fisticuffs are definitely...
Punching's okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. probably not the brightest of ideas.
Yeah, he shot at the ground, though.
That's true. Just a warning shot.
Usually you're popping that guy in the air. Desk pop. Mm-hmm. Everyone does it. You've never done a desk pop before? No diggity on that. So that's fun. I just can't imagine. I've been frustrating. I've also been frustrated. Ours is usually when we play chicken foot at family get-togethers. Okay. Or sometimes we play spoons, which I don't know why I would do this, because that one does turn violent, because everyone's, you know, grabbing in the middle.
Yeah.
They never want to play steak knives. They just want to play spoons.
Wonder why.
Lame. no one ever wants to play Ninja Star. They just want to play spoons. It's really lame at the Scout House when we get together and do that. But not enough to, take it outside, stepdad, you and me. This had to be preceded other anger, right?
Oh, sure. There had to have been something there beforehand.
Monopoly makes you, maybe not. Who knows? More of The Bottom Line next on 100.7 The Score.
This has been The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.